Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, December 22nd, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
President Robert Mugabe praises the late ZANU-PF Senator and Minister Agayas Georgias for fighting against targeted Western sanctions imposed on him and his inner circle.
Guy Georgias was among those of us on the list for Western sanctions. Europe and America, I must say, look as if they were stopovers to heaven.
Zimbabwe today marked Unity Day, with the ruling party saying the agreement brought peace in the nation.
We are not like other African countries where mayhem, killing of each other, civil wars are always being reported. As a result of the peace that was struck by His Excellency the President and the late Vice President Dr. Joshua Nkomo.
But opposition parties say the Unity Accord has not benefited all Zimbabweans.
For unity to be truly celebrated in this country, recourse need to be taken. We have issues that are still hanging. We have the Ikukurawundi issues that affect the whole country. Those need to be addressed.
And the Zimbabwean pledges to give Zifa $1 million to clear its crippling debt.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
President Robert Mugabe has praised the late ZANU-PF Senator and Minister Agayi Georgias for fighting against targeted Western sanctions imposed on him and his inner circle. Mr. Mugabe made the remarks at the National Heroes Acre, where Georgias, who filed a suit to block the sanctions, was laid to rest today.
The country was slapped with illegal sanctions. Its leadership put on sanctions and on the sanctions list, which exists today. Guy Georgias was among those of us on the list for Western sanctions. Persons who were not supposed to visit Holy Britain, Holy Europe, and Holy America. The situation presented to us made Europe look as if, Europe and America, I must say, look as if they were stopovers to heaven. We never accepted that. If they were stopovers at all, they were stopovers to the opposite of heaven. And our chaplain is what he called hell.
President Mugabe attacked the West for imposing targeted sanctions on senior ZANU-PF members and some of their colleagues, saying there is no justice in Western courts.
Zimbabwe today marked the 1987 Unity Accord signed by ZANU-PF and PF-ZAPU, with the ruling party saying the agreement brought peace in the nation. But opposition parties say the peace treaty has not benefited all Zimbabweans.
Beneficiary of the agreement.
Only if you are united, you can achieve a lot more. So I'm very proud that today I'm a minister and very grateful to this opportunity that was born out of the struggle and sacrifice of many people who died in the war, some who survived our war veterans.
Former Liberation War fighter and ZANU-PF lawmaker Joseph Chinotimba says the Unity Accord prevented the country from sliding into chaos like what is happening in other African countries. He said, what's obtaining in countries like Libya, Syria and Iraq clearly demonstrates why unity must prevail in a nation.
That unity must remain as it is. We are enjoying it. There is no war. If you look at South Africa, they are shouting at each other. But in Zimbabwe, it is peaceful. Were it not for people like you at Studio 7, you don't report the truth. This country is peaceful.
But not all Zimbabweans feel the same. Most opposition political parties in the country feel the Unity Day has lost its importance as the ruling party now uses the occasion to denigrate them. In a statement to mark Unity Day, Marcelina Chikasha of the African Democratic Party, speaking on behalf of 13 opposition political parties, which include the MDC formation of former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, said the Unity Accord has lost its meaning due to ZANU-PF's intolerance of the opposition. She said ZANU-PF itself is no longer united.
This party is divided into more than three factions and they are embroiled in a succession conundrum. Secondly, the original unity accord with PF ZAPU has collapsed. Third, no unity and reconciliation has been attempted with other political parties.
Student activist Gift Ostalo Siziva says there cannot be real peace and unity in Zimbabwe without telling the truth about what happened during the Gukurahundi atrocities.
The people who are perpetrators of the butchering, the genocide that happened in Matabeleland are still free, moving around and continue with the butchering of the ordinary people of Zimbabwe. And therefore, we cannot say there is any peace to celebrate in our country, because every day people disappear, every day people are butchered, people are incarcerated by the regime of Robert Mugabe.
Political commentator Ernest Mudzenge of the Media Center says the Unity Accord is still relevant to the ZANU-PF politics.
When you look at the then PF ZAMPU and the ZANU-PF, those were the foremost liberation movements in this country. So when we look at our history, it's important in that it marks a certain point in the unfolding history of Zimbabwe.
The Unity Accord, among other issues, stipulates that the party or government's two deputies should come from the two signatories of the agreement. Ngomo, who died 12 years after signing the pact, has been succeeded by the late Vice President Joseph Musika, the late Vice President John Ngomo, and the current Vice President Phelekezela Mpoko, while Mr. Mugabe stayed as First Secretary and President of the party and country since 1987. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Thank you, Ivan. Some youths in the country's second largest city, Bulawayo, say Zimbabwe will not achieve any peace unless it addresses atrocities committed by the National Army in the 1980s. Our correspondent Taurai Shaba has more details.
Speaking to Studio 7 today, Ipitule Maposa, the Bulawayo Provincial Youth Chairperson for ZAPU, said the nation cannot celebrate Unity Day as it is gripped with what he called ZANU-PF misrule, which he said is characterized by a lack of respect for democracy and human rights. He blamed the ruling party for the economic crisis that the country is facing. Some youths from the MDC, MDCT, ZAPU, and the Bulawayo Unemployment Youth Agenda gathered in Bulawayo yesterday ahead of today's Unity Day holiday to discuss the significance of the day as well as find possible solutions to the national crisis. Maposa said the youths are in agreement that the commemoration has lost its significance to ordinary Zimbabweans, adding that genuine togetherness will only come about if ZANU-PF listens to concerns by some over the need to deal with past atrocities, including the Gukurahundi period, when about 20,000 supporters of ZAPU in the Matabeleland and Midlands provinces were allegedly killed by a crack unit of the Zimbabwean army.
For unity to be truly celebrated in this country, recourse you need to be taken. We have issues that are still hanging. We have the Gukurahundi issues that affect the whole country. Those need to be addressed and closure need to be found for us to celebrate unity in its totality.
Benny Shachwayo, a member of the national executive of the MDCT's youth wing, said it was time that youths took charge and come together to lead the nation out of the current hardships. He said failure to do so would allow President Robert Mugabe to, quote, steal the future of the youths. He agreed with his colleagues who said people should not just talk about their hardships without trying to hold government to account.
We are saying we as the youth, let's come together. We are all Zimbabweans. These conditions or these hardships which we are facing are not actually affecting an individual from ZAPU, are not actually affecting an individual from MDC led by Tsvangirai, but they are affecting each and every citizen in Zimbabwe.
Provincial Youth Chairperson Akim Mhlanga of the MDC also said it is important for youths to put aside their political differences and work towards rebuilding the nation in order to help foster nationhood and genuine unity among the people. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shaba.
I'm Tatenda Gumbo. Greetings of the season from your Studio 7 team in Washington, D.C.
President Robert Mugabe's remarks that some members of the armed forces are now interfering in his succession have unsettled most Zimbabweans. In this second edition of a two-part report, Studio 7's Blessing Zulu analyzes the role of the army in Zimbabwean politics.
On May 9, 2012, Major General Martin Shedondo addressed the state media stating that, and I quote, "As soldiers, we will never be apologetic for supporting ZANU-PF because it is the only political party that has national interests at heart," close quote. On May 4, 2013, the commander of the Defense Forces, General Constantine Chiwenga, while responding to the MDC president's call to meet army generals and discuss issues pertaining to security sector reform, inferred that, quote, "We have no time to meet sellouts. Clearly, Tsvangirai is a psychiatric patient who needs a competent psychiatrist," end quote. Despite this brazen involvement of the military in Zimbabwe's political processes, it is important to note that such involvement has not been rebuked but has been buttressed and endorsed by ZANU-PF. In one of his addresses before the June 27, 2008 presidential runoff elections, President Mugabe said, quote, "The war veterans came to me and said, 'President, we can never accept that our country, which we won through the barrel of the gun, can be taken merely by an X made by a ballpoint pen. Zvino ballpoint pen icharwisana here ne AK,' translated to mean, 'Will the pen fight the AK rifle? Is there going to be a struggle between the two? Do not argue with a gun.'" End quote. A former member of the Zimbabwe National Army and MDC member, Giles Mutsekwa, says Mr. Mugabe tacitly approved military involvement in politics when it suited him.
You will recall in 2002, the late General Zinawashe said he made a statement which was contrary to the constitution of this country. He complained about it, but he was smiling. And recently, there was this brigadier who is now Major General Ikaramba, who made the same statement. He has been making the same statement against movement for democratic change. And we have always been saying that this is totally unconstitutional and unacceptable. But he enjoyed it. The military now, because they are used to interfering in the running of the political affairs in the country, there's no bounds, obviously. And now they are now involving themselves in the running of affairs of ZANU-PF.
The involvement of the military in ZANU-PF faction power struggles, according to some experts, is influenced by their position that the presidency is a straitjacket whose leadership should have liberation war credentials. Apparently, Mrs. Mugabe, they argue, has no such credentials, but appears to have the backing of President Mugabe in a bid to influence the successor to her husband. The question then is, could this time around the military defy Mr. Mugabe? Dr. Ruhanya argues that Mr. Mugabe has the inner lane.
Remember that Mugabe is the commander-in-chief of the army. If there is any rebellious activities, Mugabe can fire, can reshuffle, can reassign, can redeploy. The military will definitely be involved, but significantly if they serve the interests of Mugabe.
According to some military experts, the involvement of the military in Zimbabwean politics is analogous to the role of the military in communist states in the former USSR and China. But Rupia says China is now evolving and it was his hope that Zimbabwe too will turn the corner.
It's quite ironic that the president is now saying the military must not be involved in politics. And I think it's too far down the road for him to begin to raise concerns, but certainly from what he stands, from where he stands, this now is a fairly significant worry, you know, within the political elite and the ruling class.
Experience shows that the inevitable consequence of military intervention to resolve social and political conflicts has been endless wars. Military interventions exacerbate political and socio-economic crises and internal differences with profoundly detrimental and destructive regional implications. But many scholars argue that as long as Mr. Mugabe's succession issue is not resolved, military intervention remains a possibility. President Mugabe, in power for 35 years now, has always maintained that when the time comes, the party, meaning ZANU-PF, will elect his successor. But at 91, without a clear succession plan, a crisis is clearly emerging in the ruling party. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Blessing Zulu. I wanna wish you a
Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I'm Chris Gandhi. Greetings of the season from your Studio 7 team in Washington, D.C. Two lion species, subspecies from Africa, are now on an endangered species list thanks to a new U.S. policy. But as Studio 7's Ndimiyake Mwakalele reports, it's not clear on whether the killing of Cecil the lion had any influence on this.
A U.S. agency on Monday listed two lion subspecies under the Endangered Species Act, offering them legal protection that will make it harder for hunters to import trophies into the country, Reuters has reported. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service listed lions found mostly in West and Central Africa as endangered and lions in Eastern and Southern Africa as threatened. Dan Ash, director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, said it would withhold permits from violators. The measures enacted under the world's most powerful animal protection law will take effect in January 2016. They allow the extension of protection to African elephants and cheetahs. Once numbering in the thousands, the two groups of lions covered by the listing have been disseminated by loss of prey and habitat and killings by hunters, including many from local communities. North American Regional Director Jeffrey Flocken of the International Fund for Animal Welfare, IFO, praised the decision. His organization co-authored the petition to list African lions under the Endangered Species Act. Zimbabwe and Burkina Faso are among some of the African countries that still allow tourists to hunt lions as a source of revenue and conservation efforts. But American dentist Walter Palmer sparked intense global controversy in July when he killed a rare black-maned lion named Cecil in Zimbabwe. Hunters, like Palmer, regularly import salt-packed skulls and skins of lions into the United States. Though at the time of Cecil's death, the Fish and Wildlife Services said it was deeply concerned, a spokesperson for the agency denied that the new measures were linked to Cecil's killing, which is being investigated separately. Americans reportedly make up around two-thirds of trophy hunters. Apart from the Endangered Species Act, hunters are barred under America's Lacey Act from importing wildlife or parts of animals that have been illegally killed, transported, or sold. For Studio 7 in Washington, this is Ndimiyake Mwakalele.
Hello, Zimbabwe. How are you? I'm Tatenda Gumbo, and I'm inviting you to send us your audio and voice messages about Christmas and the new year. Our WhatsApp number is 001-202-465-0318. Again, that number is 001-202-465-0318. Tell us how you are doing and what you think about this year's Christmas. Remember to tell us who you are and where you are from.
Thank you to those of you who responded and sent us your Christmas and New Year greetings. Here are some of the ones we've received so far, and we're still looking for more.
My name is Danmo Machingura. I am a teacher at Mshwe Primary School in Tengwe, Karoi, Mashonaland and West Province in Zimbabwe. I want to say happy Christmas to my family, Machungura family, and all teachers in Zimbabwe. Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Fidelis Mazura. I want to send my greetings to my relatives. I don't forget my children, my wife, especially my kids, girls, 4 years, Fervent, Felicity, and Fibion and Federate. I don't forget also my mother who is suffering from illness. I wish her a happy Christmas. You recover. And I don't forget my father also. I know he is listening to Studio 7 at the moment. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, Studio 7. I love you. Thank you for giving us the best news in the land. You are my number one station. I just want to say Merry Christmas to my family and the nation Zimbabwe. I also want to pray for Zimbabwe. May God hear Zimbabwe. My name is Melu Sinyandeni, calling from Bulawayo, Zimbabwe.
Hi, Studio 7. I'm Tamani Kondro from Masingo. I'd like to say hi to my parents in Gutu and all Chikondro family all over the world. I'm wishing all of them a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year with a fruit of food and tasty. And I love you all. Bye.
I am Baba Shuva in Chikombe, that is my name. I wish my relatives a Merry Christmas. We are just suffering, no pay, no bonuses here in Zimbabwe for the teachers.
We want to hear from you out there, so please send us your messages and WhatsApp. Our number is 1-202-465-1318. That number again, 1-202-465-0318. You can also reach us on Facebook.
Now we take a look at regional and international news.
Iraqi troops battled today in the center of Ramadi in a fierce push to reclaim the city from Islamic State militants.
And the International Organization for Migration says the number of migrants and refugees entering Europe in 2015 has gone over the 1 million mark, the largest influx of its kind since the end of World War II. Central Bank Chief John Manguja says Harare is engaging the business community with the view of finding ways to enhance the use of the Chinese currency, the yuan. But Manguja dismissed media reports that this was linked to the debt forgiveness China has promised Harare. Manguja tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the yuan was introduced a long time ago as part of a basket of currencies that Harare uses.
This has to politicize the things that are not to process. The yuan is one of the currencies that are in the basket of currencies. There are nine currencies that are in basket, like the US dollar, the pound, the rand, the euro, the yuan, the Japanese yen, Australian dollar, and therefore the yuan is one of the currencies that are in the basket. So what you are saying is very simple. So Zimbabwe is like that. Just like it's in South Africa. And therefore, we are saying, how do we improve the trade between two countries? And how can we use the currency of the two countries? So just like the South African land. Just like the big fault. That's what is there. So there's nothing new that the government can allow you. Or what you are saying, how can you promote the use of the renminbi within the multiple current system?
So it's not at all linked to what these newspaper reports are saying, that, oh, maybe it's because of the debt forgiveness of 40 million. That's why Zimbabwe wants to try and introduce the yuan?
No. I think the people are getting it wrong. The yuan has put the basket of currencies in Zimbabwe in the multiple currency system. In 2014, by the then acting governor, nothing there. And all what they are saying, what there is a plan of trade between Zimbabwe and China. And also, there is going to be investment between the two countries. So we are saying, how basically can we utilize the currency for the trade between the two countries? It becomes a bilateral trade arrangement.
Okay, so you are exploring different measures that you can take. That's all that is happening now.
We are exploring different measures. Promoting the usage of the renminbi in Zimbabwe under a bilateral payment arrangement in line and also within the multiple currency system.
That was Central Bank Chief Dr. John Mangudya speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. For perspective, we reached independent economic commentator Rejoice Ngwenya.
Well, the thing is that when it was decreed that the yuan is part of the multi-currency basket, in the multi-currency basket, it did not mean that it is in circulation. What it simply meant is that if somebody approached a retailer or a service provider with a yuan, it was incumbent upon that person to accept the yuan as currency. So my understanding is that then the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe would then go to the Central Bank of China and say, look, we are going to be using your currency as a legal tender. So it will mean that bringing in lots and lots of this yuan into circulation. Otherwise, if you just wait for tourists to bring the yuan or companies that bring the yuan, it might not be enough to circulate.
There has been some concern over the writing on the money, which is Chinese. What's your take on that?
Well, my take really is that if a currency is going to be exchangeable in a country that speaks largely English, it is important that the Reserve Bank and the Bank of China bring into circulation money they can understand, that people can understand, because there is no point in having a note that is written in Chinese that, you know, nobody's going to be able to change it or to denominate it properly. So I assume that the renminbi or the yuan, there are some denominations that are configured in English. I don't know why, because I've never been to China. But it makes common sense. It's logical that if the currency is going to be circulating in Zimbabwe, besides the English speaking, it has to be denominated in a language that we understand.
Do you see people accepting the yuan?
Look, Zimbabweans generally are very, elastic. They are very sensitive to currencies. I'm sure that, the reason why Zimbabweans accept the US dollar is because they can use it everywhere, including South Africa and Botswana. They can carry it and change it at the change in South Africa and Botswana. I'm not too sure whether we are going to accept it, because myself, I would have a problem accepting the yuan, because I don't know what rate it is exchanged in South Africa or Zambia. So I might be reluctant to accept a transaction that comes in yuan. And I think that it's going to take time for Zimbabweans to understand and study the weight of the yuan in order to accept it.
That was Rejoice Ngwenya, an economic commentator, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
I'm Tatenda Gumbo. Greetings of the season from your Studio 7 team in Washington, D.C.
Most civil servants are this year faced with a bleak Christmas after the government shifted pay dates to well after the Christmas holiday. Raymond Majongwe, General Secretary of the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, says they have been informed that teachers will get their December salaries without bonuses next Monday. Uniformed forces got their salaries before Christmas, but also without bonuses. The government has been struggling to find money to pay its bloated workforce due to the current harsh economic environment in the country. Majongwe tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri they are not even sure whether they will get their salaries next week.
As far as we are concerned, what we know, because it was made public, we know for a fact that our salaries are due to be paid on the 28th of December, 3 days after the Christmas day. And that is what is bothering us most, because we have a government that has become so insensitive that they can't even give us a chance to celebrate and enjoy with our families just for a day, because we are being forced to get our money on the 28th. As far as the bonus is concerned, we are oblivious as to when it is going to be paid, because the minister was non-committal and she also wasn't sure, because unlike the statement that they were going to pay the soldiers, we have confirmed with our soldier friends they have not been paid. So as far as we are concerned, the bonus issue remains a pie in the sky. And we are simply saying our government needs to be honest. Our government needs to realize that they are a government because of us. They are not a government unto themselves. And as far as we are concerned, it sets a very dangerous precedent for this country.
Are you going to take any industrial action to show your displeasure?
Apparently, it must be made very clear that there are processes that we must engage. And part of that process is endangering what is known as the Apex Council.
That was Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe Secretary General Raymond Majongwe speaking with Studio 7's Njoga Kandemiri from Harare.
That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye saying good night.